News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
With us is Harry McGee, who is political correspondent with the Irish Times, to bring us up to speed on some of the stories that you may not yet have seen. Before that, Harry, will you throw on the political correspondent hat? Because I want your analysis on what John Dallin had to say. The political fallout for the government and the key representatives of the government that were involved in dealing with both the negotiations and dealing with the actions in respect of the protest. How damaged are they? Start us off with Micheál Martin.
Yeah, I don't think anybody comes out well from this, Anton. Government, opposition or protesters, I think it's left a sour mouth in everybody's mouth. I think there's frustration at the protesters, there's frustration at the government, and there's frustration at the opposition, some who have adopted kind of cynically populist positions in relation to this.
Have the opposition not navigated it relatively well? I mean, Sinn Féin has been careful in not taking a very strong position in either way about whether or not the protest was legitimate, but they've been strong in criticising the government, no?
They've been very strong in criticising the government, but I think they've been very ambivalent in relation to not the protest, but the blockade. So I've heard representatives from Sinn Féin calling out the blockade, which, you know, essentially was bringing protest to another level. And I think in a democracy, I think it asks questions about people taking action like this into their own hands and claiming that they're doing it on behalf of the people of Ireland. And as you were pointing out to John Dallin then, you know, these people don't have a mandate. So you have to distinguish between what is protest and what is a blockade. And the net result of the blockades last week was that 600 of the 1,500 filling stations in the country were without fuel. Anton, I was in the West over the weekend. Most of Connemara had no diesel. Most of Mayo had no diesel. Events had to be cancelled. So if that situation had been allowed to continue into this week, I think we would have had a situation where nobody in the country would have fuel. Even in Dublin on Saturday, when I was getting fuel for my own car, there was a €50 maximum.
Now, you would
so
have
this
thought
was a prelude to what was going to become rationing.
You might have thought in that kind of context, Harry, that you would say, well, that means that the support will be against the protesters and in favour of the government. Sunday Independent poll yesterday revealing 54% of people in support of the protesters. That's a disaster for government, isn't it?
It is. I mean, people are very frustrated at the cost of living. I think, again, you have to distinguish between protesting and blockade. I think people would have agreed with the principles or the arguments behind the protests, cost of living, fuel going up to €2.20 a gallon in some places, and more comparable increases for petrol and for green diesel, which is used for agriculture. The difficulty was that they supported the principles, but I think as if the protest or the blockade had gone on, that I think the tide would have turned slightly against those doing the blockade, because people wouldn't have been able to go from A to B in their own locality, or go from city to city or from place to place, and that would have created its own difficulty. You're talking about frustration with the government. Was the government correct in the way that it approached the blockades? We had Jim O'Callaghan saying on Wednesday that the Gardaí were going to use the support of the army to the civil power. That didn't happen.
And they were going to drag away trucks and don't complain if your trucks are damaged. This was fighting talk.
It was, and I think it might have been a little bit premature. But, you know, I think the announcement was premature, but I think the way the Gardaí handled it in the end was probably correct. They didn't go in too quickly, and then when they went in a very measured way. And I mean, this blockade and protest, call it what you may, was very reminiscent of what happened with Les Gilets Jaunes in France several years ago. And the French authorities handled that very badly indeed, when their first reaction was to bring in the riot police, and that created kind of demonstration and riots everywhere throughout France, and that movement spread. So I think that the Gardaí and the army, I think, were measured in the way that they went in. Again, in the opposition, I think the opposition were looking at the causes behind the protest. I think that some of the arguments they made were very strong, but I don't think that Sinn Féin covered itself in glory, to be quite honest, in not distinguishing between what is a protest and what is a blockade.
Well, a little bit later in the show, we'll be joined by Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson, to talk about the motion of no confidence that they have put down in the government, so we can put that question to him. Before that, Viktor Orban, after 16 years, gone.
Yes, the Europe's longest serving prime minister. He started off his career as a firebrand lawyer who opposed the communist regime and became a kind of totemic figure for the opposition in Hungary. Over time, he changed and became the leader of a movement and a party, the Fidesz movement, that moved more and more to the right. He has been very controversial. His party has been almost anti-EU, even though it's a member of the European Union. He has courted Russia and Vladimir Putin. And controversially, lately, Hungary was the only country that blocked a 90 billion euro package that the EU wanted to give to Ukraine. So he has been ousted by a former prodigy of the party and who created a new party only 2 years ago. It's a party called TISA. And its leader, Peter Magyar, is a very apt name for a Hungarian politician, because Magyar actually literally means Hungarian. So Peter Hungarian would be the translation of his name in English. But they had an overwhelming victory. They won 138 out of about 180 seats in Parliament, which gives them the two-thirds majority.
Phenomenal majority.
That's required, actually, to effect change of the constitution if they want to do so. And during his term, Orban had two-thirds, so he did change the constitution and made it quite conservative. And I think Magyar is going to turn back the clock. He isn't a left-wing firebrand. He's actually centre-right himself, a former member of Fidesz. He's young, he's very dynamic, and he certainly has captured the imagination of Hungarians. And Europe, I think, are very happy about that, because I think he has adopted a far more pro-European stance as prime as a leader.
Lastly, in stunning news, the Pope is weak on crime.
He certainly is, and he's not a very good guy.
He's only in his office. He's only the Pope, thanks to Donald Trump. Well, and the brother was better.
Yeah. So on his Truth Social media post, Donald Trump had a extraordinary attack on the Pope. Loads of invective, a big broadside against him, saying he wasn't a very good Pope. And Donald Trump claimed that he was only there because Donald Trump was in the White House. And I quote Anton, "Leo should be thankful, because as everyone knows, he was a shocking surprise. He wasn't on any list to be Pope and was only put there by the church because he was an American and they thought that he would be the best way to deal with President Donald J. Trump. If I wasn't in the White House, Leo would not be in the Vatican." I think that's going to backfire on him, because there's a substantial number of Catholics in the US. A lot of them have supported the Republican Party and Donald Trump. And I think that kind of sentiment will give some, at least, pause for thought.
Harry, thank you so much. Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.